Welcome to Outdoors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Danut Devney Shaw, the author of the book titled How the Teen Man Found His Brain, One Journey's Path for Perceptual Development. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Danut, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here to engage in our discussion.
Yes, and let's start with something simple. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am an author, obviously, speaker, decision strategist, and consultant. I have spent 30 years in management, organization, and law, and that's part of the background for my book. I also have another track as a background for my book. I come from a family that went through a great deal in terms of challenges and had to develop a great deal of resilience to survive them. My mother was in a Siberian labor camp. My father was in a German labor camp. So I grew up with the context of tremendous organic teaching in my home about how to get through tough challenges, decision making, and building our own personal power.
Yeah, and you spent 3 decades practicing federal law, but this book goes different direction. What inspired you to explore intuitive decision making and perceptual development?
Well, actually, I didn't spend the 30 years just in law. That's why I mentioned that it was management and organization efforts. So there were a variety of different roles that I played aside of being an attorney. What inspired this book was the work that I had done, the successes, the failures that I'd seen. I'd worked for federal bankruptcy court for 5 years as a law clerk, for example. I got to see how lives fell apart, how they got put back together again. I've worked in a variety of contexts in Washington, D.C. on a contract basis as an attorney, seeing a lot of successes and seeing a lot of non-successes, dare I say failures, but non-successes. So I've had the opportunity of working with tremendously powerful people, working for and with these people. And that was one track. The other track that inspired my book was my family's background, was the fact of learning that decision-making, the decisions that we make, overcoming fear, doubt, and confusion, developing a course forward creates success invariably in our lives. The way that we decide to engage our choices and how we move ourselves through them is incredibly, incredibly important in terms of what we create, what we develop, and how we live, whether it's professionally, personally, regardless of our role, regardless of our title. This is core to our lives.
Yeah, and the title calls back to The Wizard of Oz, right? Like, what connection did you see between Dorothy Tin Man and the journey toward finding one's brain?
Well, the Tin Man was always concerned about not having a heart. But the truth is, he was a smart creature and a very kind and caring teacher, this creature. And so this all goes back to the fact that we have all of the resources within ourselves. And in fact, all of the characters that Frank Baum wrote about in The Wizard of Oz all had the very elements that they were looking for. In fact, my second book is going to be about the Cowardly Lion and risk-taking and the role of risk-taking in our lives. And the third one is going to be about the straw man, the scarecrow, and our need for validation. So this first book unfolds the journey. It speaks to my own experience professionally and personally. I draw upon the experience of those who influenced and inspired and taught me things along the way. And this I will continue to share in the trilogy. That's this book here. I'm going to show you guys this book. I think you can see it, right? The next book that I'm going to be working on will not be in that trilogy. It will be about my grandmother. Let's see if I can get this straight. Here we go. It is The Five Lives of Agnieszka is the name of the book. And this is about my grandmother's journey. Part of the same teaching that is infused and that informs the Tin Man is going to be elaborated upon in this book about my grandmother, who went through so many different stages in her life, including war, including the labor camp, including a Middle East holding camp, and made her way to America. And the question will be, does she find her happy ending? And that's what this book will be about.
Yeah, and also I saw that Alice Hoffman is quoted, like, once you know some things, you can know them. Like, was that a turning point in your own journey toward awareness?
Well, it was that comment became inspired by an experience that I refer to in the book about a gentleman who came to me. He had received revelation, meaning he'd come to a point in his life where something inspired him so much, a situation, an engagement, a contact inspired him so much that it changed his whole vision. And in his case, kind of disoriented him a little bit. So he came to me and he said, "Will I ever be normal again?" And I said, well, I'm not a psychologist. I don't practice psychology in terms of the work that I do. However, I don't think that you can unknow something that you have learned. And so this is where it comes from. Once you've learned something, once you've seen something, once you've been made aware of something, you can try to ignore it. You can try to push it aside, but it becomes a part of your reality, an incorporation into your reality. And this is the whole point of the role of decision-making, of consciousness, of the journey forward and through with awareness, with true personal knowing, with the subjective power that we all have. Yes, we have our rational reasoning. I'm an attorney. I'm very, very invested in rational thinking. However, our subjectivity, our internal resources, our imagination, our creativity, our inspiration are critical in terms of creating a holistic context for all of the decisions that we make. And that's in our business, that's in our personal lives, that's in living our lives. And never more than today do we need to engage that. We need to put aside fear, doubt, and confusion and go into self-trust, self-awareness, understanding, knowing what we need to know. If we need to know more, we need to know more. We need to learn more. If we need to go within ourselves and deal with our own discernment on what has to happen rather than just blanketly following somebody else's ideas, this is the kind of work that gets involved in this type of decision making.
Yeah, and there's a chapter, like your mirror chapter, plays with perception and self-image. Like, why is understanding self-perception so crucial to effective decision making?
That's an excellent question. In fact, no one has asked me that question. It's an excellent question because if we don't start with self-awareness, with understanding that vision, it's very difficult to build self-trust because in a sense, we don't know who we are fully. We don't know what, yes, we may know we're a little lazy or we're a little ambitious or we tend to get sloppy or we tend to be very neat. We know things like that, but we don't learn the sort of inner sense of our own being and how we work, who we really are, what we really want in life, how we might be able to go after. Many people go after things they believe are important because someone told them that they were important and because they're not trusting themselves. Part of the book that I do continue to refer to in different chapters, part of the element of this book is this self-trust, because this is crucial. Self-knowledge, self-awareness, and self-trust is what you build everything else on in terms of negotiation, communication, integration into society, you know, working with your community, working with your family. Coming from that place gives you all the power you need to make the kinds of decisions that need to be made. And if you need more information, as I've said before, then it tells you that as well. You realize that you do need input. You might need some additional guidance, but you don't know what you don't know until you find out. And the right place to begin, the best place to begin, I believe, is from within ourselves.
Yeah, and your stories connect just do it mindset with deeper introspection. Like, when should people pause to reflect and when should they act?
Ah, and that is very different in different situations. It depends on the context. And I talk about this, you know, people very often react. They say countries reacted, our corporation quickly reacted. And very often a correction is needed. In fact, I just spoke about this at the International Association of Top Professionals 2 weeks ago. I did a very brief talk for a few minutes spontaneously. And I brought this up because it is such a crucial thing. Stop reflect, and respond. That's where you can determine. When you allow yourself to pull back a little bit and see what it is you're really looking at. Do you need to jump into this? Do you have the room to think about it? If you do, then give yourself that space, because a much more powerful result will come from that kind of consideration. Sure, there are times when there has to be an emergency reaction, and then however it needs to be resolved later or adjusted or rebalanced, then it's done. But in most cases, we have that moment. Even when you're in a negotiation, in a meeting, you need to take that pause, that breath. If you need to take a break, you take a break. If you need to step away, you step away. If you do have to keep going, then pause. Allow yourself the room to think, because in truth, our minds work very rapidly and lots of ideas will come into our mind. You know, if we panic and we just react, well, then we don't give ourselves the benefit of that. And again, the consequences vary depending on what's invested in the decision or the action that you're taking.
Yeah. And with you crafted 300 pages more, like the story and the strategy. But what was the most challenging part of writing Tin Man?
Well, it was interesting. It took me 20 years to think about this book and 2 months to write it. So basically, I had been giving it a great deal of consideration and a great deal of thought. So as the chapters unfolded, they unfolded one after another, and they flowed pretty easily. In fact, the book is now up for an award as Book of the Year in the category of self-help through the International Impact Book Awards, and we'll know in October what the result will be.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, what have readers told you about the book as well? Like, the book helped them to make a difficult choice or change their habits?
See, I really wrote the book to make people think, to provoke consideration. People don't have to agree with me. They don't have to buy into like one program. Yes, in the book, in the various chapters, I mention exercises or ways that one might consider the question that might be before them. But it's not really to convince someone that they have to be this or do that. It was really to bring about perhaps more awareness. In fact, one person who reviewed the book and really loved the book said, you know, I never think about how I make my decisions. And I thought, bingo, perfect. That means that this has given you the inspiration, if you will, or the awareness to maybe think about that. It's not a bad idea to know how and why you make the decisions that you make. And people will apply the book in different ways. People find different aspects of the book, you know, more entertaining or more insightful for them or more inspirational for them. I wrote it to support people, to encourage them, and first and foremost, to bring about greater awareness and more self-trust, ultimately, because that's where the power lies.
Yeah, and many of our listeners seek clarity on chaos. You know, what's one quick tip from your book for someone overwhelmed by options?
Well, as I just mentioned briefly before, this is really critical. Stop, reflect, respond. Now, many different programs offer, you know, similar language and do refer to that concept, but it cannot be overstated in terms of its importance. We all kind of know we should be doing that, but we don't really think about it when we're in a situation that requires some kind of critical thinking and perhaps sensitivity in terms of time. Pull back. Take that breath. Give yourself the room. And in the end, this is something else that I have brought up occasionally before. Know that your best effort, your best decision, if you have taken everything into consideration, if you have looked at what you need to look at, then that's all you really can do in a given situation. People often feel they need to be perfect or they need to do the right thing. Many people have said to me, you know, I tried my best, it wasn't good enough. No, actually your best is good enough if that's really what you did. And sometimes you don't have enough time in whatever the question is to go do research or talk to people or get more information. If you have that kind of time, that's wonderful. But particularly in a negotiation, it's important to listen. It's important to know what is really coming at you in the question, in the decision that needs to be made. What's really being asked of you? How do you feel about what's being asked of you? What do you think would make sense for you and for whoever else is part of the consequence. If you're making a decision for your family, if you're making a decision for your company, then you need to take that into consideration. And that will provoke additional thoughts. And a lot of this goes through your mind very, very quickly. And often you already know a lot about your positioning when you go into the situation. And if you do, then realize this is what you need to stand by. You've learned what you need to learn. You know what you need to know, and have the confidence and self-trust to take the action you need to take. Never more than now, because we are barraged with so much external information and artificial information and different points of view that are really just opinions and aren't real information. It's terribly, terribly confusing, and or certainly can be. And this is why I bring up the point that self-trust, knowing how you feel, how you think, where you're coming from, what your strengths are, what your vision is, what are your goals, what do you see as life moving forward? This is the kind of stuff we can only answer for ourselves. And you don't do it all at once. You do it one step at a time. One piece at a time, one issue at a time. And you can experiment. How do you feel about something? What perception are you getting? I have some quotes from people who very much relied upon their subjectivity, their internal awareness, in addition to rational thinking. And they've been in very powerful positions. In fact, all of the most successful people that I have ever worked with and for, as I've mentioned, I've worked for a number of them, they all use all of the resources that are available to them. And then that's all they can do is the best that they can do. And that's all we can do as well.
Yeah. And also, I have a question, since I know that you're working a lot with a lot of people, and are you working in any other new projects, perhaps the like the books, any like workshop, another?
Well, what I'm doing, I was before COVID, I was doing workshops. I'm certainly available to do workshops for, let's say, for a group or an organization. I could certainly do one. Right now, I'm focusing on the writing and on speaking. I'm always available to speak at private events, at public events, at corporate events. And these are the two areas, my writing and my speaking are the biggest focus. As I move on down the road, I may be doing more with workshops again, but that's been sort of put on the back burner because I'm also traveling a good deal. I do book signings. I've done about 50 book signings in about 25 states, maybe a little bit less than that. So I've been all over parts of the United States and also in England. I am there intermittently. So I am endeavoring to sort of spread the word. What I'm proselytizing for is I'm proselytizing for the health and well-being of everyone, whatever that means to him or her. Right? Not just one idea that fits all that everybody should follow, but to be the best and brightest of who we can be, whether we're leading a company, and I believe me, I've talked to people who are insecure leading companies, as well as people making decisions day to day, every day in our lives, and be able to make them in a way that we don't look back with any regret. The key is no regrets. And so this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm speaking about. This is what I'm writing about. And my next book about my grandmother, the book on her life, is really a lesson as well, but it will be written more like a novel. So it will be the story, but you can get from it so much about how someone was able to overcome a lot of different challenges. And we all have them. It doesn't have to be about getting through a war. We have all sorts of challenges with what career steps to take, what other directions to take in our personal lives, with health, with business, with so many things. Every day we are fraught with these decisions. And the more confident we can be about how we are making them, the more we can go forward in our lives in a way that will not give rise to any regrets. We learn what we can from it, and we continue to go forward, and we build a wonderful and beautiful life.
Yeah, thank you. Like, those ones are very nice words. And where can listeners learn more, connect with you, any website, a platform that they can read?
Yes, you can reach me. You can reach me at Cela Fontes. That's the name of my company. It's spelled CelaPhontus. Cela Fontes. I'll spell it again. CelaPhontus. O-N-T-U-S. You can also find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, under my name. Celafontis is my name on Instagram, but you can find me under Danute Debney Shaw. You can also send me an email, dds@celafontis.com. And the book is available through Barnes & Noble. It's available through Amazon. It is available through independent bookstores. It is, you can just about get it anywhere. And if the bookstore doesn't have it, it can be requested because it is available through Ingram, which is a wide distributor in the United States. So, And it can be gotten, it can be obtained. I don't know if I mentioned Balboa Press. Did I mention Balboa Press? That's the publisher. Yeah. You can always get it through the publisher as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It has been a pleasure for me to have you here and hear you, everything that you say, it gives you like a sense that, okay, now something it's better. When you finish your book, I think the people is going to be like, really thinking, okay, this is a different perspective, and now I can, you know, go through all the challenges and all the options that I have and be wisely in that. And thank you for that.
Well, the last thing I can say is do it now. Do it for yourself, whatever those steps are, whether it is getting a book, whether it is learning some more, whether it is doing little bits of activity that involves building self-trust, do it now for yourself. It'll be a very important step in your innovation of decision-making.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio. And thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check her book. Thank you for tuning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.
Thank you.